right. Good morning. Little bit of a stretch to start the day. Yep, we're live. It is, what is today? It's the 27th. January has felt like it's been a long time, right?
Very long. I think some people have just been paid now.
It's
been a long...
Still, there's still like 3 days left of it.
Okay, well then I'm very fortunate. I have petrol in my car.
There's still 4 days left of this bloody month. It just won't end.
Yeah.
It just won't bloody end. It actually only ends... The 1st of February is only on Saturday. So yeah, this is a long month. And for people who haven't been paid or for people who are waiting to be paid, it feels like forever, right?
Absolutely.
Jesus. Anyway, I hope your day's off to a good start. It is a Monday, but we've got lots of shit to get to today. Plenty to talk about. Lots of fun. Hanan will be in later on. Got some sport with James. Got a guest popping in the last hour. Loads of things to talk about. How are you, ass?
All good. I said when I left the studio, when I left the office on Friday, I said to everyone, as I've done with you before, it's nearly Monday. They didn't believe me, but you know,
here it is.
It's here.
You love to ruin people's Friday by telling them it's nearly Monday.
So close to Monday.
Well, we've got a lot to talk about, as I said earlier. And one of those things is, we will get to this probably with Dr. Hanan, but it's something you found for us, is that ADHD and ASD, which we'll get to in just a moment, are actually normal biological variations as a part of human evolution and are not disorders.
Yes.
I mean, this is how we were raised, you know? I hate that Gen X ruins all the fun of all the other generations who want to have disorders.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I remember not being able to concentrate. I used to get claps. I used to be told to shut up and listen and pay attention and focus and do what you're meant to do and stop being distracted so easily.
Yeah. I mean, you have to try quite hard to focus.
What?
You have to try quite hard to focus.
Where is it?
I've seen you sometimes.
No, it's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a serious problem.
But is it a problem though?
It's a problem first of all, if I care about something and I'm interested in something, never a problem, right? If I'm bored by something, I'm impossible and I can't be put to good use and I become disruptive and I ruin it for everyone else.
But there are major positives.
Sure.
So we'll get to those.
Okay. I'm keen to hear because I also think a lot of parents are raising their kids and they can't wait to add disorders to their children's life. And I don't know where it comes from. It might be a thing of they're setting up excuses for them ahead of time. You know, maybe there are a lot of these helicopter parents who want to be involved in everything and they don't want their kid to get any blame for anything that they've done. So they set them up by saying, oh, well, you've got this disorder or that disease or whatever it might be. And that, you know, as long as you have those, you can't really fail. If people say you're failing, that's because they're mean.
Well, you know, when I get further into this, it's not a disorder and it shouldn't be labeled a disorder, yet it can still cause difficulties in certain areas of your life.
Well, guess what? So can stupidity. They don't call that a
stupidity
disorder.
Stupidity can cause a lot of difficulties.
If we just look around, there are so many dumb things that happen. Like things that I saw these streetlights that are on the highway, and there are like two or three of them that are down. I don't know if they put them down to have the light bulbs replaced or whatever, and they haven't got to it yet or whatever. I'm thinking that's been down for like a week. Surely someone knows that if you don't put it back up soon, some person, because that's the kind of thing that happens in this country, is going to steal all the electronics, the wires, the cables.
Surprised they're still there.
The metal. I mean, they're going to take everything they can, right? You know those things that you put on your tires, the cap that you put on where they put in the air, right? I put four of those on because my car didn't have them.
And because you've got four wheels.
A week ago, I looked this morning. I'm like, where the fuck are these caps? They've been stolen.
Where are the tits?
They've been stolen. I'm like, you don't need the expropriation bill to know that expropriation happens every bloody day, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
And do you buy more and just keep on feeding
them? I don't know. I mean, like, no, I'm not going to. I don't care what the car looks like. I'm going to be like, fine.
Yeah.
Because what's the point? I'm going to buy four more, and then in a week from then, they'll be stolen again. I'm thinking to myself, what kind of a fucking wretch goes around unscrewing those things? You know, it doesn't really bother me in the big scheme of things, but it's just, it's one of those things that just makes you go, ugh.
Yeah, it's like the aerial of my car.
Right.
I've just given up on it now. And now I accept that there's certain radio stations, because it's an old school car, that I won't be able to listen to.
I mean, you don't need to be listening to radio anymore.
Well, the thing is, it's got a CD player in it, and that's it. So I don't have much.
No.
Yeah.
CD player. Wow. I heard from somebody over the weekend, they sell houses, and they told me that they sold a house the other day with a bed. It's one of those beds that has speakers built into it.
Ooh.
Can you imagine? And a CD player.
Oh, my gosh.
In a bed.
Cup holders.
In a bed. Yeah, it has cup holders.
Yeah, you see. You
it's
get
like,
those.
Oh, just sounds so bad.
Yeah. Speaking of beds.
Have you ever been in a waterbed?
Yes. I haven't slept all night on one, but no. I've played around on one.
Yeah, I've never slept on a waterbed. And I don't know whether I'd want to, because I think it would freak me out a little bit. Take me a long time to get used to that. And some people, that's the bed for them. It's like those ones with the headboard with like mirrors on it or whatever. Jesus.
Well, I've been sleeping in my grandmother's bed.
Oh.
For years.
Oh.
So once I was in need of a queen size bed, and my brother said to me, from my grand's house, it wasn't literally their bed, but nobody uses this bed.
Right.
So I've had that for a long time, but it's obviously not great. When a friend of mine heard that I was still in that
very
bed.
Old.
Yes. I mean, she's been dead for 20 years.
And this is probably one of those beds that's going to give you backache or something. Yeah,
exactly. Not helpful with the hips.
Uh-huh.
And when a friend of mine heard that I still had this bed, he said to me, no, I have a very good bed. It's also old, but no one's ever slept in it. It's from my mom's house. Uh-huh. So I've inherited this bed now. It was I saw the label. It was made in 2008. But boy, is it a good bed.
Well, one compared of those, to the old thing like, that you have probably had springs, the old one.
Yes, it did. This is like one of those plush, you know.
Yeah.
So I had it cleaned by professional cleaners, and it took 4 days to dry.
Wow.
Thank goodness I kept the other bed, but slept in that for the first time last night. So that was amazing.
And I tell you something, if you live and you sleep in a shit bed and you have shitty pillows,
it's going to ruin your life.
Like you could spend 1,000 rand, 10,000 rand, 100,000 rand on shoes and clothes and everything else. You could buy a car for millions of rands, but if your bed is crap, your life is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't realize this. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad that you have a better bed than the old grand one.
It doesn't have speakers, but
ugh, listen,
good enough.
Anyway, I see a bunch of comments here already. In our day, we were just called hyperactive instead of ADHD or we'll talk about the other one just now. Mm. When we were actually bored with what was going on and needed more stimulation. That's from Lee. That's quite right. Mm. Good morning, team. Watching live from Postmasburg in the Northern Cape, says Uachiseng. So welcome. That's very good. I don't know anyone in that part of the world. Gareth will never go through a meeting without his phone, or has that shifted? No. Meetings. Jesus. Mm. Although, I mean, I had a couple of good meetings last week where I was paying attention the whole way through. I think it's about how much I'm interested in what's
Absolutely.
Going on.
Yeah.
Like if I feel like I can't make a contribution and I'm just listening to other people, I'm definitely going on my phone.
Yeah, it's very difficult to concentrate when you're being told something that you already know.
Yeah.
That's what I find.
Right. So Lee says kids are resilient as hell. Just leave them be. And I think that's about right too. We try to make everything complicated instead of making it simple. Janet says we've learned to raise our daughter tough we're aware of her struggles. A society does need to do its part and be a little bit more patient, I'm just saying. Is that because she's got ADD or ADHD?
Could be.
Don't know. The Real Network, did you see Trump got that hunter from Jumanji to head up his Stargate AI project? I think you're talking about the guy from Oracle. What's his name? Damn it. Doesn't matter.
Is that a fantasy thing?
No, Oracle's a company. He's a billionaire. Anyway, I think that's who they're talking about. But man, has he been doing a lot in his first week of being president.
He's been busy.
He only got inaugurated. They only had the inauguration on Monday last week, right?
I don't know what he's taking because he doesn't look tired. His posture's great. He's looks like he's full of energy. Yeah.
Totally. And has lots of ideas and has enacted a whole bunch of these ideas already. I mean, he's made more executive orders in the first week than anybody else. Apparently, borders are closed. Foreign aid has been cut off to everyone until they can figure out who really deserves it and who doesn't. The army has been deployed on the borders. He's basically gathering up illegal immigrants from all over the country.
He got rid of a whole lot of laws that Biden had put into place.
Plenty. So it's all happening. Whether you like the guy or not, you kind of have to admit, like, it's nice that someone's in charge. Because apparently he told the story, I saw this over the weekend too, told the story at some rally, that when foreign leaders would call the White House in the last 4 years, then some staffer would pick up the phone. Mm. So, like, let's say you're Emmanuel Macron from France, and you need to speak to the president of the United States urgently. You've got some trade dilemma, or you've got an issue with, you know, a war that you're about to enter into or whatever. They'd call up the White House. Some junior staff would answer, and they'd say, the president can't really talk to you now. We'll call you somewhere in the next month.
Mm.
And Trump tells the story that now he says, put them right through, and they can't believe it. They're like, really now? And then they go straight onto the phone with him, and then he can't get rid of them now because they've had so little love from the United States that once they're on the phone with the president, they just want to stay there.
Like, let me tell you something.
Right, exactly. So can you imagine? Because they would phone, and Biden would be asleep. Or
just in his zone.
There was no one running the place.
Mm.
It was like very, very strange. There's like a ship, and the ship is sailing, but there's no captain at the tiller, you know?
It's just a cruise liner going through the Antarctic.
Well, hopefully someone stops it before it hits the ice. But the ANC needs to check where they're stepping, says Bitcoin Boat. Trump will nail them just like he did Colombia. Well, that's a story that happened over the weekend too. Carl says a good bed is totally underrated. The bed in the holiday home is so bad that I wake up in absolute pain every day. When I get home to my good bed, it's like heaven. This is it, right? You may laugh at me. You may think, Leanne and Gareth, so old and boring. Like, I'll tell you now, I mean, Flex and James don't care about the bed. I mean, you could put either of them on a crate. You know those beer crates? And they'd sleep through the night because they're young and they don't give a shit.
They'd sleep backwards
just
over a bench.
Just wait, guys. Just wait till you get a little bit crankier and creakier and older. And you, like, wake up and you go, that doesn't feel right. It's your fucking bed. And also, you take some girl home to your house and, you have a fun time. And then she wakes up with a sore back.
I don't think she's worried about that. If she's had a fun time.
And it won't be for sore back from the thing you think it is. All right. You need to see how bed adverts are the biggest selling ads. They all are advertising beds on all these podcasts and shows.
But how does that?
Sure.
I was thinking that the other day. So I've had two beds that should be obsolete.
Yeah. What happened to them? What happened to your old beds?
No. What happened? How are these bed places making money when you hold on to a bed for decades?
You shouldn't.
You shouldn't, but people do.
No. I don't know.
And the old beds just get handed down and handed down.
But do they? Or, I mean, what?
100%. Like, I've given mine away now to somebody who needed it. She'll then, when it's even worse, give it away to someone else.
So you gave the grand bed.
The grand bed.
I think this is a big deal. Cyril gave us a few special kisses to some American high-ups. Did he? No, he didn't. In fact, I see even Elon and his mom tweeting a little bit about what's going on here from time to time. And I saw a story on Fox News over the weekend about South Africa's outrageously stupid Expropriation Act, which the president signed last week. We spoke a little bit about that on Friday morning with Russell and with Pete. And if you missed that, you need to go and check it out. Those two are on top of things. You know, this government, they like the guy who stole the caps off of the tires, right? They're incapable of being productive. They're parasites. They do the government, and I'm talking about all the parties, right? There's not one that's worse. Well, there are. Actually, the ANC is worse than the others. But these guys can't make anything, right? They can't do anything. They don't have any skills. So they have to steal more and more of your money. This is what they're doing. And now, because things aren't moving fast enough for them, they're like, well, we're going to have to take some other stuff. We're going to just have to steal other people's hubcaps and see if we can break into their cars at night. That's what they're doing, effectively.
Yeah.
Fucking thieves. That's all they are. Fucking thieves. Common garden thieves. They're the guys who, while when you take your groceries out and you put them down, they fucking steal them before. You're like, but
where's my pineapple?
And they're gone. They're down the street. And they make it a law so it's not illegal, but it's still thieving. It's still stealing by any other name.
Yeah.
Right? Anyway, Larry Ellison is the guy from Oracle that we were talking about earlier. Thank you very much, Mutande, who gave me that number, that name in the comments section this morning. Colombia. So what happened with that? Just to cover this briefly, it's not that exciting a story, but it does show you who's got the balls. So basically two plane loads of Colombians who were in America illegally departed from the U.S., and we're going to land in Bogota or wherever in Colombia. And the president's like, no, you're not landing here. Well, a couple of minutes later, he gets a note from Trump saying, I'm going to impose tariffs. You're going to get tremendous tariffs. And then the Colombians are like, okay, we back down. He's like, you don't need a war with me. I don't want to have a war with you. And then before you know it, sorted.
I saw something where
they're like, come bring those people. It's fine. We'll figure it out.
Where they were getting off the plane and they were all handcuffed together.
No, I think it's them.
Yeah.
No, it looks good. It's a good look. All those people. I mean, as if airline travel isn't bad enough. I thought that was just a passenger plane when I saw it. I was like, oh, another stupid thing they're going to make us do.
Yeah.
Because, you know, flying is just horrible, right? I don't care how, who, when, what airline. Flying is just disgusting. It's bad. It's a big bus in the sky. It's not glamorous or exciting.
You have to do it all the time, yes. Oh, but for a lot of people, it's
horrible.
Exciting.
It's horrible. And the little tiny seats, you could barely fit in them. The food is shit. They don't even give you food on most of them. It's just terrible. Like, air travel is revolting. And when I saw these people all handcuffed together, I'm like, oh, this is what they're going to start doing with us.
Surely not.
Well, I do. I honestly think that the people who run the airlines, they try to come up with the worst plans to make airline travel even more unbearable.
Like that one that they showed at the beginning of last year, I think it was, it hasn't come to fruition, where basically someone would be sitting in front of you and slightly above, so their ass would be here.
That's right. And so if they farted, it would be right in your face.
Straight in. It would be like a fart transplant.
So horrible. And I'm telling you, they're going to do that soon. So if you really hate flying like me, fly now so you don't have to fly in 10 years' time. Yeah. So bad. See if you can find a picture of that, like when they tried to make like double-decker seats in planes. They were suggesting it very seriously. We spoke about it on the show. It's terrible. Lee says, sleeping well is 80% of living a healthy life, mentally and physically. 80%, hey, Lee, have you worked it out? 80%. I do think it's a high number, but I don't know if it's 80.
That's a lot.
I mean, most of the stuff, you don't make many decisions, for example, while you're asleep. You know?
Well, your brain goes through a wash cycle at night.
Yeah.
And it prepares for all the thoughts that are about to come in the next day, the new challenges.
Yes, but I would still say that you make a lot of decisions. Look at that. Oh, look at that. And they actually thought about that. And they were like, yeah, that'll be good. People will love it. You're like, no, we won't. We'll fucking hate it.
Yeah, those farts from the guy in the green shirt are seeping right through.
The girl in the pink is going to be crying soon.
Yeah, she's smiling now.
Imagine you're at the top and you're on the window, and now you need to get to the
moon. You've got to basically imagine scooching in and out of there, right? To the end. You'd have to basically be like kissing the person sitting there.
I love that. Somebody says you can't do an upper decker in a plane because the suction is Carl. It's a hectic suction. You know what an upper decker is, hey?
Remember
I told you? Twin.
Is it a sexual thing?
No, it's a spiteful thing that you do if you want to, like, you guys know what this is, right? Okay, no, you do, let me help you. Let me make your day. The audience knows because these guys pay attention. But an upper decker is when you take a shit in the cistern part of the toilet.
Oh, no.
Yes, so it's in the top, and then all the water will be brown for a long time.
Oh, no.
And the person who owns the – so you do this if you're spiteful. Like, let's say
you've sold your house to mean people.
Yes, you've sold your house, and they've like really suckered you in the deal. And the whole family goes and does upper deckers in all the toilets of the house, right? And then every time they flush, it'll be like brown, and the toilet will always stink, and they won't know why until they lift that thing at the back. And then they see inside and there's a big turd floating around.
Well, this is very real for me because, you know, we've sold the family home.
Yes.
And the people who bought from us pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed to get in there early. The pressure they applied was enormous, and they had completely disregarded the fact that it was a family home for 22 years and we were mourning the death of my father.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, they got their way. And when we came in the day after, they'd ripped up the carpets already. From floors that we just had fixed for them, so I think an upper decker
would have been a very nice.
And then they've kept all the curtains, so a bit of salmon in the lining.
Yes, no, you could have given them a proper welcome home. You should go back there while you've still got keys, right?
No, we Ubered the keys to them because we didn't want to see their faces.
Really, they were that. They must be horrible people.
People's personalities change when something comes to an end,
or when this there's money. When there's money.
At the end of a relationship, let's say you've decided, okay, you are getting divorced, but there's that overlap of still living together.
Yeah.
You become so mean and gross to each other. At the end of a working relationship, you know, when you've handed in your notice and you're going to resign.
Oh, nobody wants to talk to you.
No, or that person is stealing data and information and everything they can and leaving upper deckers in the loo. At the end of owning a house in that relationship, in the beginning, people are very sweet and kind.
Mm.
This couple were very
lovely.
And
they deteriorate over time, right?
Relationship gets worse and worse until you absolutely hate each other.
And then people are so utilitarian about everything. It's like it's purely a commercial thing.
Mm. Yes.
Because they don't want to have feelings. So they reduce it to like amounts and times and
dates.
Numbers. And
yeah.
What are you going to do? Anyway, upper decker would have solved your problem. Okay, so a great friend of mine, Billy, there we go. Billy landed his aircraft recently. I think I'll be going by boat from now on. Well, you've got a friend who's got his own aircraft. And I don't know. I mean, it's nice to have a friend who's got their own plane, don't you think? You wouldn't fly with a friend?
No, not in a little plane, thanks.
I've got some friends who fly planes, so I wouldn't have a problem.
My brother flies. He did fly, but he's a pilot who gets airsick, so he can't be a pilot anymore.
That is so bad. That's like if they asked you you could have any superpower and there would be a condition. So like, for example, you would be able to fly like Superman.
Yeah.
But only when you're in a plane. So you could like take someone up in a plane with you and impress them
and
with like, watch
go,
me fly.
Wee!
But you could only do it in a plane. It would be like a stupid superpower, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, Vyasan, so apparently over here we've got a little bit of Bitcoin Book talking to Vyasan about being on the show with us, and Leanne has an evil streak.
Mm.
Apparently. Is that true? You think you have an evil streak?
Oh, I definitely can't. Definitely do. If you push me hard enough, I'll eventually come back biting.
Sure. Okay. Well, don't upset her. She'll sew salmon into the lining of her curtains and upper decker your bog. Put snakes in your post box.
Ooh. Imagine that. Have post boxes anymore.
People still have post boxes. Oh, yeah,
for the junk.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I supposedly have a post box at the nearby post office, but the nearby post office, again, you know, back to the things being stolen off the tires, the nearby post office has become a place where, like, homeless people sleep at night and piss.
Yes.
I went there probably about 2 years ago for the last time, opened the post box. There was some post in it, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Mostly, like, traffic fines and bullshit that I didn't even want to collect. And I had to climb over this overgrown thing to get in there. And at the whole
not
place.
Not a person.
No. Like plants and things. You could tell, though, that at night, homeless people lie there and piss and do whatever strange, else.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. I'm like, well, what happened to the post office? It used to be something that worked.
Yeah.
You know, you could really get things done through the post office. If I sent you something, you'd get it. Doesn't happen anymore. So now you have to go to couriers, who are very good, but they're damned expensive. I did this cool thing the other day, and maybe we can discuss it. I'll show you some of the results. It might be interesting to some other people. You send in a couple of hair samples to this laboratory.
Like from the root.
Yeah. You have to pluck it up by the root.
Yeah.
But you like two or three hairs. That's not gonna, you know, it's not like you're sitting there depilating or whatever it's called. You have to send them in. They do a quick test. They tell you what your sensitivities to certain metals are, certain foods, non-food allergens, things that you are lacking in terms of your metabolism, hormonal things. It's fascinating. And you get this report back in a couple of days, and they break it all down for you.
Is it a local company?
Yeah, they're here in Bryanston or something. Because a friend of mine did it, and she used to have endless like problems with her digestion and shit. And digestion and shit.
Both of them.
And I've got a stomach like a concrete mixer, so it's never really bothered me. But I thought, let me check anyway. Let me see what I've got sensitivities to.
Absolutely, if you can find out stuff. Definitely.
Absolutely, and you find out like, okay, well, for example, aniseed that they make licorice from. I shouldn't really.
So you've got the results.
Yeah. I'll bring them. I'll show you next week. Let's talk about it. Yeah, it could
How
be quite
fun.
How long
did it take?
Took a couple of days. That's what made me think of it. Yeah, it's a courier to them. Then they got it probably in a week. And like a week and a half later, you've got it with the results. It's very interesting.
Wow, okay.
You know, if you've got problems with reactions to things, there's something that's making you sinusy or whatever.
Waking up with hay fever.
Yeah, this can help you figure that out. Gareth is a hypochondriac, so sweet pea. I'm not. I just thought it would be interesting. I'm not changing my life because of it. If I were a hypochondriac, I'd be buying all the different supplements. I'd be going to the doctor. I'd be changing everything. I haven't done any of that. Screw you, sweet pea. And like, really, I'm a hypochondriac.
That's such a funny line. Screw you, sweet pea.
Yeah, I know. You sweet pea, you bitch.
You can't really be angry at her.
Gareth, that sounds a lot like homeopathy. Be careful of these charlatans. I don't think it is. Okay. And I'll tell you why. When you buy the test, then they give you a bonus one as well that you give to someone else. So I let my sister do hers. And she had very, very different results to me. So it's not just your DNA and your genes. It's also the environment. It's also what you eat, kind of your own personal. I mean, she doesn't eat meat, for example. Yes. So she had a very different schedule of stuff. So normally I'd agree with you, Carl, but my friend, for example, since she stopped doing the things that came out on her test and she stopped eating some of that stuff, she's 100% better. I don't know. Maybe it works for some people, not for others. The hair is too smooth to have a serious face, Gareth. My hair is – I had a haircut on Thursday. I spoke about it on Friday's show, but – I'm not loyal. I don't know about you. I'm not loyal to hairdressers.
Oh.
I go wherever.
Yeah, you don't really have to be if you're not coloring your hair. But if you're coloring your hair, it's pretty important to be
loyal.
Yeah.
Because I went
different
to,
stylists try different things and you can see on your hair the bands where
I normally don't even remember. And then suddenly it starts irritating me that it takes a long time to get ready in the morning.
Yeah.
Like my hair is too long or whatever.
Yeah. I'm at that stage now where I'm just pinning it up.
Well, I thought about maybe I should grow it a little and be sort of cool and European, you know? But I think I'm too old now. I think it's too late. I think it'll look ridiculous.
How long is growing it a little?
You know, when it's like you have to push it behind your ears or...
I can't see you. I can't see you.
You can't see that happening, no. Right? Yeah, maybe I should just give up on that idea.
No, yeah. It looks good like it is. It always has.
No, that's too late to... I'm not going to mess with it, okay? So we just stick with this and I'll go to the Algerian barber. He charges me like, I don't know, 200 Rand or whatever. No, 120 Rand.
Jeez.
What a...
Does he do
guys,
the...
120 Rand at the Algerian barber.
Does he do the Flex, nose
what do you pay for
waxing?
A haircut? You haven't thought about it. James, when last did you go for a haircut? A month ago. How much did it cost you? 300? What, did you go to some salon where they massage you afterwards or? No. 300 is outrageous. I mean, I know women are paying like thousands of rands.
Yeah,
right?
Thousands.
How much did it cost you to get your hair done when you do?
I've got such a bad memory when it comes to numbers, but I'd say
1,000.
2,000. Oh, 2,000.
Holy
maybe
mother
2,000.
Of God. James, do you mind not putting your ass in the camera? Sorry. Nobody needed to see that on a Monday. Really? Your ass right in the. That's
well,
like those seats on the plane.
Unless he reversed in. I don't know. I would have.
He reversed in. He actually reversed into shot. All right. And there he is with his. A month ago haircut.
My month ago haircut.
What kind of fancy place is this? The 300 Rand?
There's genuinely nothing fancy about it, actually. It's one of those random barber places with the colorful spinny wheel.
Okay. Yeah, but I go to those. They shouldn't. They're ripping you off. Go to a much nastier neighborhood and they're much cheaper.
Do you know what convinces me they're ripping me
off?
Go
to a shitty place. If you go to a really bad part of town, they cost nothing. And you don't have to have a fancy haircut.
So what, like the West Rand or something?
Yeah.
So where should, okay.
The West Rand, the East Rand, the South.
The South.
You have to drive a bit, but it's worth it.
Sure.
Anyway, I'd love to see your hair long, says Sharon. Well, maybe I'll wear a wig one day and we'll see how
No.
You don't think it'll work?
I'm saying no. It would be like me asking you, do you think I'm too old to get pink streaks in my hair? You would die.
I saw an old woman the other day with pink streaks. Listen. I also think there's something
you
fun.
You think people with colored hair are mad.
Yeah, I think they're dangerous. I do. I mean, it's eccentric and wild, right? And I would rather be, as I get older, I'd rather become one of those. I'm already eccentric as hell, right?
Mm.
Might as well embrace it. Maybe I'll just shave a big line.
Down the middle.
Down the middle of
that'll make you look instantly unemployed. And
maybe
you...
I'll knock out a tooth or two.
Yeah.
See how many people tolerate me still. Imagine you'd find very quickly who your real friends are.
Yeah, that's for
It'd
sure.
Be like, you look like shit, man. The real friends would say that. The others who kind of, they like you, but they think you're a bit unpredictable. They'd be like, you know, you'd do you. And the people who truly didn't like you and now are terrified would just melt away. It's one way to trim your hair and the friends.
Would you ever do like midlife crisis vibes? And
like
go,
what?
Like do something crazy like that with your
like
hair
what?
Or whatever.
No, you see, I was thinking just to grow it, but now I'm thinking you have to do something truly outrageous.
Yeah, buying a Ferrari isn't enough.
No, I don't have money to buy a Ferrari.
Then I don't have many options.
Hey, did you see that video of Somizi getting into a Lamborghini? A green Lamborghini. I'm like, Somizi doesn't have enough money for a Lamborghini.
He's got a G-Wagon, not a Lambo.
I really don't think he has enough money for that stuff. I think he's renting those things for social media. In which case, like, why, dude? Who are you trying to impress? Like, who?
But there are a lot, like I saw one of the local media that's online had one of their top stories was that some guy who I didn't recognize had got a new car, then it was a GTI. Since when does that make news?
Wow.
So weird.
Dopamine says, I shave my own pop with a Mach 4 blade. Okay, so you're obviously bald. Local 22-year-old barber, 100 Rand cash. Hmm?
Mm.
My barber also only accepts cash for some reason, which makes me feel like the price and the fact that they do that is kind of shady.
No, it's just, it's great. I'll tell you what, if you can do cash business with people like your barber, winning for him anyway. No SARS involvement.
That's oh, he's living his best life. Yeah, you're right, actually.
No, you don't want SARS all over your business. In fact, I would encourage everybody in this country, we already have a very good cash economy. It's not going to end anytime soon. But do as much of your business as you can in cash. Don't involve SARS. They have no right to take anything more than they're already taking, and it's too much.
Stick your cash under your mattress.
No, mattress.
In the
under
sofa.
That old bed.
Yes.
The old grand bed.
Oh, maybe I should check before I let it go.
Maybe like Cyril, you had a whole lot of money stashed in there.
Yeah, well, my grand did.
Maybe, hey, because those old people used to keep all their money in the mattress.
Mm-hmm.
Telling you. All right, so I know you're not here for your health, James. Let's get on to it. We've got some sport from the weekend, and I want us to start. I don't care whether you like it or not. Let's start with Accrington Stanley, who I've become a major fan of.
I got you covered.
I didn't watch the game or anything, but I did see the score. They 1-0?
You'd be pleased to know they won 1-0.
Yeah.
You would, but you'd also be not so pleased to know that they're sitting 20th in the EFL League 2 at the moment.
So that's like two leagues down.
Yeah, that's quite a way
down. I can't
down.
Believe you're finally getting into it and you've chosen someone that's Accrington 20 down.
The Goat Club.
No, I just the like greatest. The name.
So yeah, they won. I'm actually adding that to the sports headlines for this morning. They won this weekend 1-0 against Crewe Alexander. There was
Crewe Alexander. That sounds like a barber.
Actually, now that we're here, some of the names for some of these like
shitty teams
are so random.
Go on.
You've got Grimsby Town, which is interesting. Bromley, MK Dons, Accrington Stanley, Swindon Town, and Gillingham were some of the weird teams that they play every single week. So that's happening in the EFL League 2. The Premier League also happened this weekend. Liverpool did what Liverpool do week on week at this stage. They beat Ipswich 4-1 to go top of the log. Spurs, they lost 2-1 to Leicester. City beat Chelsea 3-1. United beat Fulham last night 1-0, which is also quite a surprise.
Yeah.
To most. Liverpool top of the table by...
Oh, you couldn't wait to tell us that.
6 points, game
in
hand.
This is who he's into, Liverpool.
You know, all of the...
Where's the shirt?
You know.
Is your bed covered in Liverpool?
You regale? Laugh.
Is it?
A while ago.
It was.
When I was much younger.
I had 12?
An embarrassing age, I'd say.
It's 15?
Probably. I had Liverpool bed sheets.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew it. Yeah. You know how bad those are because they're red.
So red. So red. Yeah, I didn't see the
error. We're talking a lot about beds this morning.
Yeah.
Have you got a shitty bed, James?
No, I bought a new one about a year or two ago.
Okay, good.
Quite expensive.
Listen, they can be outrageously expensive.
Right?
Yeah.
Ridiculously.
You know, here's Mr. Cheap 100 Rand haircut telling you that a bed can be outrageous. They can. They can cost thousands of rands. Thousands.
The Nedbank Cup also happened this weekend. Easy wins for Pirates, Chiefs, and Sundowns. And then in the world of rugby, Glasgow Warriors, they played Connacht. They won 22-19. Mm-hmm. Cardiff lost to the Sharks, 42-22. Leinster beat the Stormers, 36-12. The Lions lost to the Bulls, 37-22. Mm-hmm. The world of the SA20, which is all everyone's talking about at the moment on Twitter. The top four have pretty much been confirmed this weekend. The Pal Royals were the first team to book a playoff spot with MI Cape Town following them in the second after a big win on
Saturday.
So
a lot of my friends were at cricket this weekend. It seems like a fun thing
for families
to do. It
does seem like a vibe, hey?
No, but you go with the kids and like everything else. My youngest nephew played his first cricket match and he managed to, I think he performed very, very well. Got like a ton of runs, and while he was bowling, he caught the ball and threw it at the wickets and got the guy out. So he ran him out, basically.
Dad must be proud.
Oh, yeah. But the younger one is not as competitive as the older one. The older one is just like his father. Like, everything is about the stats, the numbers. He knows exactly how many runs he's on. He knows exactly what he has to do. If it doesn't go his way, he's like, oh, this is terrible. The younger one, not really even sure how many runs.
Vibes.
So everyone, cricket everywhere, right?
It does seem like a lot of fun to go to these things.
Yeah.
From what I've seen.
Ben always raves about Centurion. He says, you sit on the lawn, order a couple of drinks. Yeah.
Sit in fun the sun for way too long, yeah. Come back looking like a tomato.
You get very burnt.
When you say Centurion, do you mean Supersport?
Supersport Pack.
Pack.
Yeah.
Supersport Pack.
It's the Titans' home ground.
Yeah. But they're now called the?
Momentum.
No, something else. Pretoria Capitals. There we go. Yes.
That's me. Gareth pays attention, huh? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. More than I do, because I didn't know that the Sunrise is Eastern Cape and the Joburg Super Kings.
Raven says Liverpool bed sheets are like natural birth control pills.
100%. That would no way gone.
Wow. Lee says that the Crown Jewel mattress from Sealy is 19,500 rand for a mattress. But she says, so worth it.
What's in it?
Yeah, I mean, what's in it?
The crown jewels.
Yeah, gold. Golden gemstones. Go on.
Sunrise, Eastern Cape, Joburg Super Kings round off the top four, but both enjoying home wins over the weekend. And that is the sport.
Okay, very good.
Thanks.
Slippery Pickle says, I sleep on a reed mat on the floor. Not good to sleep in. I don't want to get soft.
Sure.
Well, there we go. You know, reed mat on the floor. That's how most of our ancestors for hundreds and hundreds of years lived.
I don't know how. I would at least have to kind of carve something out for a bit of a pillow and something.
Reed mat on the floor.
Okay, I'm not backing out this
time. All right, yeah. We
beep, let's beep, go full frontal.
Beep, beep. You know, like when a truck is like backing into an alley.
Yeah.
Great. Centurion is better because Wanderers, you're not allowed to drink on the grass. I wonder how much money Graham Smith has made from this cricket thing. Well, he deserves it. It's great. Clifford says Sloom is great. So my sister and her boyfriend have got Sloom.
What is it? A game?
It's this mattress that it comes all like wound up and you open it up and it pops out.
It expands, yes.
And it's like made of memory foam or whatever.
Yeah.
And they swear by it. So. Maybe that's the one to go for. A mattress weighs twice the amount after 10 years.
Ew.
Yeah, skin and mites.
Oh, no. Now, you see, that's grossing me out completely.
It's revolting.
The cleaners did say that it's completely sterile now.
Well, for now. When did you have it cleaned?
4 days ago.
Okay, so you'll be fine for another 4 days.
But they did, you know, it's getting me. They did say it's heavy. It's really heavy.
Oh, really? So and it was full of...
They move beds often. Oh, Gareth, please. Make me cry.
All right, well, we've got to get to Dr. Hanan. So why don't you first, while he's on the line, you can start telling us about this survey, because I think this is really interesting. And I'm sure Dr. Hanan has an interesting take on this too. So tell us the story.
So this is a fairly new paper from December last year.
Okay.
In the NIH's Clinical Neuropsychiatry Journal of Treatment Evaluation.
Okay.
Written by an Annie Swanepoel.
Oh, Swanepoel.
I know. I saw that. I was wondering.
Maybe she's South African.
Could be. And it starts like this. ADHD and ASD are normal biological variations as part of human evolution and are not disorders. So here's the abstract. I'll just read a bit of it. Recent developments driven by people with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder or ADHD and or autism spectrum disorder, ASD. So you're looking at your ADHDs and your autisms have highlighted that far from being disorders, these can actually be seen as natural variations in neurodevelopment. So the neurodiversity movement acknowledges that people with ADHD and or ASD have specific strengths that can help them outperform neurotypical individuals in certain situations. Therefore, these should not be seen as disorders. Supported by evolutionary science, natural selection, this evolutionary perspective supports neurodiversity as relevant and important. And that's it.
So in other words, they're not disorders. They actually could be superpowers.
For instance, people with ADHD have above average skills in creative thinking,
right?
Visio spatial reasoning and courage.
Right.
while people with ASD excel at memory, innovative thinking, observation of details, and often have specialist skills.
Right. So didn't I say this 10 years ago?
They can then hardly be considered to have a disorder, and neurodiversity can be closer to a superpower.
Thank you very much. I hate to say I told you so, and I'm not this professor of neurodiversity. I'm just some douchebag.
Some layman on the street.
I know lots of people with ADHD, and almost all of them are successful. Right? Almost all.
So, look, I have to take medication in order to concentrate in certain situations.
Yeah, but that's because your brain has been scrambled over hundreds of years by alcoholism and bad behavior.
Pads, not getting enough sleep.
Yeah, all of that shit. No, you're a disaster. but I'm saying most people, but you also have, you're on Ritalin sometimes.
I take not Ritalin. I take Atentra every single day.
Okay. Every day, huh?
Yeah, it's one of those that you have to take every day.
Yeah, no, you really, you've got problems.
And I'm on the highest milligrams.
Oh, my God. All right. So so let's get Dr. Hanan on and let's ask him what he thinks of this survey and whether or not this is like an I told you so by me and probably by him.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. So, Doc, how are you this morning?
Hey, guys, I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good. Did you hear this study that Leanne just told us about? What do you think of that?
I didn't. Tell me.
Okay, so basically this professor, this Professor Swanepoel at the NIH in America, she's a psychiatrist. She's been studying this stuff for a while. She says ADHD and even autism spectrum disorder, she says they're not disorders. It's just part of the evolution of human neurodiversity and the ability of humans to think differently and to be different. And we shouldn't consider these things disorders. She says they actually should be considered like superpowers. They're on that edge where, you know, a lot of variation happens in the way people use their brains. And she says we must just get on with it.
Yeah, I'd like to see this study fully, but I like that idea a lot. I think in today's age, we overdiagnose people and we call these diagnoses disorders. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, what that does is it disempowers an individual because a disorder is considered something that is within you that you need medication for. You're not empowered to actually use it to make your life better. But how about we relabel it as a superpower or your own human condition that allows you to do certain things better than others, and it weakens you another way, which, Leanne, if you have ADHD, for example, there's certain things that you can do better than others, and there's certain things that others can do better than you. But by the way, that is what we call the uniqueness of being human. And you utilize your strength in a particular way and you learn how to mitigate the weaknesses in a particular way. And people mitigate their weaknesses in many ways. I mean, we drink coffee to give us energy. Yeah. We go to gym to, you know, to increase our concentration and our physical ability. So I try to shy away from calling anything a disorder. Again, we are over-diagnosing, especially kids, as opposed to seeing it as this is a unique set of skill set. And utilize the good and you mitigate the bad.
So what about, and I said this to Leanne earlier, what about that maybe these parents, just they first of all, every parent is always desperate for their kids to be better than, right? So if they do something well, the parents are thrilled. They don't want their kids to be ordinary, but they also don't want their kids to ever be blamed for anything. So you get these parents who go along with any diagnosis they can get that makes the kid in some way disordered, because then it kind of gives the kid a get out of jail free card for all the things that might happen in life. But shame, little Tommy's got ADHD instead of he just needs a fucking crack, you know?
Or just crack.
Crack. I mean, what do you think of that? Because there are these parents, they can't wait to give their kid a diagnosis. They're like, oh, little Johnny, you know, don't worry about him. He's bouncing off the walls. He's running around. He's peeing against the neighbor's car wheels. And they're like, oh, no, but he's just, don't worry. He's got this disorder. He's on medication.
Yeah, a lot of people use these titles and these disorders as a way to give excuse to their own behavior. And at schools, it's done the same way. I mean, teachers are incredible, but some teachers can't handle, or the system cannot handle certain type of kids, kids yeah. that want to be creative, things that want to draw out of the line,
yeah.
which is incredibly useful.
Right.
Because the greatest innovators are the people that draw out of the line.
Right.
So what do we do with these kids? Because teachers can't handle them. The system can't handle them. The principals can't handle them. So what do? So we just give them a title or a label called, well, you obviously are a problem, in inverted commas. You've got ADHD. Don't worry. We'll medicate you and bring you back to drawing within the lines, which is such a shame, because if we created a system for these individuals to be creative and to play within certain boundaries that serve their personality and their temperament a little bit better, mm-hmm. that would serve everybody.
All right. Well, listen, I don't know the answer to any of this, and I'm sure that every parent is, obviously they care about their kid, so they want their kid to be as normal and to have as good a life as possible. I'm saying embrace this stuff. And there's a very good comment here about, like, Elon, because Elon is probably the most famous neurodivergent person in the world. Bitcoin Boots says he channeled all his extra energy into going to Mars, not driving himself, traveling in a tunnel under the ground, making flamethrowers that are not flamethrowers. It doesn't end with him.
Mm.
You can channel that extra energy, that lack of focus, into many different things. But I think it takes a tremendous amount of discipline. And I think that's what's probably lacking with a lot of people is discipline. Mm. So let's go to an email here. We got this from somebody, or let me just see what this is here. Oh, yeah, stress and burnout. So somebody said, how can you recognize the early signs of burnout? Because I also hear this being bandied about, like, madness, Dr. Hanan. People are like, oh, I'm burnt out. But what is that? And how do you actually know if you're burnt out and you're not just lazy or tired?
Yeah. So the current definition of burnout is actually it's not working. You know, it's synonymous with anxiety. So elevated heart rate, you can't concentrate. Mm-hmm. Your memory is down. You feel helpless. You feel down. You feel sad. You can't function the way that you normally would. But that is very subjective. And in that definition, then many people can fit themselves into the category or into the title, into the diagnosis of burnout, which I think is incredibly unhelpful because, you know, the 5th of January, everybody's already burnt out. They've had 3 days back at work and they're already burnt out. The thing that you should be asking yourself, leave titles alone. Listen, we're talking about titles. We're talking about diagnoses.
Yeah.
And I said it disempowers people. But the benefit of, unfortunately, the benefit of giving somebody a diagnosis or even self-diagnosing is you actually relinquish all responsibility. It's not my fault because I've got ADHD. It's not my fault because I've got anxiety. It's not my fault because I've got a thing called depression. And it's not my fault because I've got burnout. So the thing that it gives people is this justification of why I'm not performing, why I'm not getting from point A to point B, why I'm not as good as I should be if I didn't have this thing that I'm not in control of, which I think is so disempowering. And burnout is no different. So instead of just giving yourself this title, ask yourself, am I able to get from my point A to my point B in the different aspects of my life? And if the answer is no, avoid giving yourself a diagnosis. If the answer is no, ask yourself, what am I doing wrong and what can I do better? What am I doing wrong and where can I improve? And leave the burnout for 2 seconds. But what am I doing wrong? What can I do better? Because that empowers you to look for a solution to get yourself from point A to point B.
I love that. That's very practical. And I think a lot of people could benefit from asking themselves those questions. I almost have the opposite problem, though. And I know this isn't my turn to, like, use Dr. Hanan as a sounding board. I often feel like I'm not working hard enough. I sometimes feel, and I think that there are a group of people, and I'm probably not alone in this, who always feel like no matter how much they're doing, they're not doing enough. That always feel like I could be pushing this more. And you almost feel guilty when you have a bit of time where you can, you know, you can sleep properly. You're not exhausted every day when you get home. You feel like I could be doing a whole lot more, even though I'm fairly busy. But I almost like the idea of just breaking myself on the wheel, like trying to do as much as possible. And obviously that's not good for you either. So how do you know when you're in balance? How do you know when you're like, okay, this is, I'm doing enough. I'm working hard. I'm bringing in the money. I'm doing the things that I want to do. I'm changing stuff that isn't working, but it's still not enough. And I feel maybe I'm lazy.
Mm. So Gareth, I absolutely love that type of temperament, because people that feel that they're not doing enough and they want to do more and more, and I'm saying this cautiously, they're almost immune to depression, because the opposite of depression is doing and looking forward. The opposite of looking forward and moving forward is depression.
Yeah.
So the fact that you want to do more, the fact that you're looking at what's next, the fact that you're looking to resolve, the fact that you're looking to fix, the fact that you're looking to, you know, get out of bed earlier, go to bed later because yeah. you want to do things that resonate with your spirit. That's incredible. I applaud you for it. But to your point, when is too much too much? Now, the way we judge it is not by your feelings, because how many times do we have to say on the show, feelings are pathological lies. What feels right could be wrong, and what feels wrong could be right. So we got to judge it on objective fact. And the objective fact will come from your goals. So ask yourself, am I attaining my goal? Because the one thing that A-type personalities, people that want to do more and more and more, the one mistake that they make is they don't set themselves specific goals, mm-hmm. and they don't know what they want to achieve. And what ends up happening is they do too much. And when they don't do enough, they actually feel guilty.
Yeah.
So they're riddled with, I should be doing more. So I'll give you yeah. an analogy, and this could resonate with you, and this could resonate with some of the people that are listening. As a father, if I'm an A-type personality and I want to do more and more, the worst thing that I could do is set myself this very pixelated, low-resolution goal of, I want to be the best father that I can. Because the moment I set myself that low-resolution goal of, I want to be the best father that I can, I'm guaranteed to fail, and I'm guaranteed to burn out and feel incredibly guilty all the time, because instead of eating, I should be a better father. Instead of working, I should be an available mm-hmm. father. Instead of being with my friends, I should be an available father, because that goal is so airy-fairy, it's so out there, and it's not realistic, and it's not attainable. But the moment I define it, what that means for me in my circumstances to be a good father, which means I'm going to spend an hour with my kids before they go to bed. I'm going to read them a story. I'm going to phone them in the afternoon. I'm going to make sure the phone is off when I'm driving them to school so I can have a conversation with them, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now, once it's defined, the in-between is my permission to work and to eat and to be a good friend. And I don't feel guilty for doing it because I fulfilled the particular goal called being a good father. So in your case, for example, instead of saying, not that you do, but I'm just saying, instead of saying, I want to do the best that I can, mm-hmm. which is the perfect way to burn out, you want to define what that means for you. And the moment you attain it, then the rest could be allocated. The rest of the coins can be allocated to everything else, and you don't have to feel guilty for doing so.
All right. Well, that's handy. It's going to take...
It's like spot on for your personality type.
Yeah. And what you were talking about with the depression thing is true, because I don't actually know how that feels, but I do sometimes feel guilty because I always think I'm not doing enough, which is ridiculous too, because what the hell's guilt?
But if you define it.
Guilt? What's guilt ever going to do for anyone, right?
For sure.
Nothing.
For sure.
So, all right.
For sure. But if you define that, what that means, then you give yourself permission to do other things as well.
Yeah, but enough about me. Here's someone with a real problem. So Carlos says, and I think this is something we've got to tackle next week because we're out of time for now, but this is really, really difficult. Someone asked Carlos for advice. Their kid attempted suicide because they were depressed. And this is a very serious subject. So for next week, and I know you'll come back with the answer immediately, but we can't do it now. Can you give us some advice on that front? Because again, you could try and be the best parent in the world. There's something going on at school. There's something going on in their relationship. There's something going on in their head. Kids do crazy things sometimes for very, very bizarre reasons. And I just wonder how parents feel when they find out that their kid tried to do this, and what advice you'd have for them about how to handle that. It's a very, very tricky situation, and it happens way more than people would like to know.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, I'd love some more details about it, but in a on a very high level, the people want to end their life because they don't see value to their current existence. Right. So they feel helpless and hopeless. So what we want to do, and what I would advise to any parent or professional, ask yourself, how can I build value for this person so that their existence and living in the world is more valuable than ending the suffering? So reduce the suffering and create hope by increasing the value. What can I do? Is it more friendship? Is it better health? Is it better relationships? Is it a better sense of purpose? Is it more financial stability? Is it more structure? Is it more routine? Ask yourself, what is this person lacking that takes away their value, and what can I instill that creates more value and hence hope?
Right. Okay. Well, we can look into that in more detail next week, but thank you for your time today. As always,
and namaskar.
Thanks, Dr. Hanan, and we'll check in with you in a week's time. Very good. Yeah, I mean, listen, there's always someone who's worse off than you. There's always someone a much bigger problem than you have. And when you hear about those things, you kind of go, "The hell am I moaning about?"
Yeah,
right.
It's all about
ridiculous.
Perspective.
So, oh, I'm not getting enough done, and I feel like I'm not doing enough. Mm. Meanwhile, there's someone whose kid has just tried to kill themselves, and they don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So there we go. Just one last thing on this. Dirk says, my hyperactive daughter at 8 was on the way to be diagnosed with ADHD, and we channeled all that energy into sport and robotics. She's just designing and building stuff.
Oh, amazing.
She's 13 now, and she's completely fine.
Oh, amazing.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. Okay, very, very good. We will come back with a whole lot more in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. We've got plenty of fun stuff to show you. Leanne's got some pictures that she'd like to share from a holiday in Madagascar. No, I'm kidding. But something
I was
going like
to say.
we'll get on to a whole lot of other stuff. Plus, we have a guest popping by who I think you're going to want to hear all about too. A real communicator and somebody who's I've known actually for a very long time, probably since varsity, right? Somewhere there. Anyway, on the way, all of that and more. Don't go anywhere.